Well, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, this is a special edition of Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King, and a special co-host of CL King Jr. And the music that you're listening to is by the legendary Yellow Jackets, and of course, our guest, Mr. Will Kennedy. And ladies and gentlemen, as you might know, the allure of that song, Spirit of the West, is one that, especially when I got to get out of town in a hurry, and I got to do about 85, 90 miles an hour, this song makes it so easy to feel guiltless when you're speeding. And so again, ladies and gentlemen, it is our distinct honor and privilege to have in our virtual studios, in without question, without debate, and without dispute, one of the most legendary, inspirational, and influential drummers in our time, the great Mr. Will Kennedy. And I would just like to do diligence, because I believe the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due. I'd just like to just give you just a few nuggets about how pretty remarkable this gentleman is. Will Kennedy is a drummer whose musicality and finesse is, like I said, legendary in the jazz world and beyond, performing with luminaries such as Herbie Hancock, Chaka Khan, Snarky Puppy, which we all know, Bobby McFerrin, Esperanza Spalding, George Benson, Lee Ritenour, and a host of others. His career is marked by pushing the musical boundaries and a desire to be inspired, yet also be an inspiration. And Will has been an inspiration to our family for the last 26 years. And maybe 20 of those, he's known that we were definitely following his work. Will Kennedy is a longstanding member of the Yellow Jackets, and that's the celebrated jazz quartet that includes fellow USC Thornton faculty members Bob Mitzer and Russell Ferrante. Kennedy's partnership with this ensemble began way back in 1988, and the band has recorded close to 30 albums and has been nominated for 17-plus Grammy Awards, and they have adventurously amplified the electric electro-acoustic soundscape. And they have created a sound, ladies and gentlemen, that has stood literally the test of time. As far as I'm concerned, when Drummer World said Will Kennedy was recognized as one of the top drummers in the world, they didn't state it well enough. I feel that he is one of the top drummer in the world in this era and in my time, just I guess because I'm a fan. But Will Kennedy's performances have not only inspired a generation of musicians, but have helped to define the leading edge of contemporary jazz. And so that's why we're blessed to have in our virtual studios here today on Impacting Life 24/7 for this special broadcast, the one, the only, the legendary Mr. Will Kennedy. Welcome, Will.
Wow. Hey, I'd like to thank the Academy.
Man, it's
speech.
thank you. You know, I always try to, and obviously this is our first celebrity guest, but I always try to do a good job no matter who I'm introducing, because as a speaker, I've been introduced pretty I wish I could have just introduced myself sometimes. They'll be like, oh yeah, and by the way, Chris King, and I'm just like, oh, thanks. Y'all paid a lot of money for that introduction. Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much, Will. Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule. I know you're teaching and getting chomping at the bit to get back on the road with your team, the Yellow Jackets, and so we're honored to have you here, sir.
Well, thank you so much for that fabulous introduction, and it's a real honor and pleasure to be with you today, and my life has already been impacted.
Yes, and well, you know, we're gonna definitely get into some of those areas, but you know, we all have a story, Will, and I think this is still par for the course for our show. We give people an opportunity to tell a little bit about themselves, and you know, I don't know who watching us today would not know who Will Kennedy is, but there may be some out there, so we just wanted to give you an opportunity before we get into some of the nitty-gritty questions to just tell everybody, you know, Will Kennedy's journey and how did your journey start in music and who you are. You introduce yourself.
Amen. I am Will Kennedy, brown man, black man, from Oakland, California, Oaktown, we lovingly call it. And Oakland has been a wonderful melting pot of inspiration and music and love and family for me. I am 60 years old this 2020, be 61 and 21. And Oakland was the place that I was born and molded, if you will. Have an older brother, 6 years older than me. His name is Herschel Kennedy, also a musician. Played in a fabulous R&B band called Graham Central Station, Larry Graham's great band back in the 70s, some of the 80s as well. And to be able to witness the pathway that my older brother traveled, being in a popular gold record award-winning Grammy-nominated R&B band, and being able to be behind the scenes at the recording sessions and some of the live concerts, it really just made me thirsty for that arena. And so Herschel, being a keyboard player, it was a great opportunity for me to accompany him on the drums. So I gravitated towards the drum kit. Also in my father's house, Herschel Sr., a great lover of music. He played drums a little bit, but ended up supporting the family through other means, but just had a wonderful passion for music. And so we were hearing music all the time. So I had the best of both worlds. I had my father's record collection, which was everything from, you know, jazz, big band jazz, quartet jazz, the orchestral music, classical music, country music, just the gambit. And we would go see live performances and everything from Count Basie, Ella Fitzgerald, to the Commodores and the Temptations. You know, we would go see them live, and it was just a very inspiring time. So that was one side. And then I have my older brother, where he's actually playing live and showing me the ropes, and I'm accompanying him on the drums while he's playing keyboards. He's had organs and clavinets and various other keyboards. And I had my little Crest drum set, Montgomery Ward drum set, Walmart drum set.
Yeah, remember those days.
Making it through, you know, and just writing songs with my brother and being creative from many different levels. And eventually I started working in the Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area, started doing various different types of performances, from weddings, bar mitzvahs, college shows, plays, and just musicals, just whatever I could get my hands on. And then discovered recording sessions and song production, music production. Joined a publishing company with two really wonderful partners for many years, Larry Batiste and Claytoven Richardson. We would write songs and produce music, and became a kind of a staple, if you will, in the community of musicians in the Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I got my first international traveling gig with Andy Norell, famous steel drum player And he had the first recording I did with him was an album called Album, an album. Let's check that out. Mm. That tell you how long ago it was, right?
Right.
He had an album called Slow Motion, and that was kind of one of my first entryway into the map of professional musicians, and also first world tour. That was my first trip to Europe, fresh out of high school, and eventually I started continued to play around the Oakland Bay Area Peninsula, and ran up on a saxophone player named Mark Russo, who mm-hmm. was one of the early members of Yellow Jackets, and the great Ricky Lawson,
yep.
God rest his soul, the original drummer with Yellow Jackets, had a touring opportunity with Lionel Richie. And Lionel Richie had him out on the road for several months, and the Jackets were kind of holding back, doing things amongst themselves. And the tour kind of extended, and they decided they needed to bring in a temporary drummer to come in and hit with them. and so, as I said, I met Mark Russo, who was originally from the Bay Area. Mark had the idea of, hey, let's get Will Kennedy to come in and sit in with us, and he'll hold down the chair while Ricky's out with Lionel Richie. And I got in there, did my little audition, and got the job. And it was, as I mentioned, a temporary basis until Ricky got back. And wouldn't you know it, after or close to the end of Lionel Richie's tour for Ricky Lawson, Michael Jackson was prepping to go out for the Bad tour. Mm. And I guess they made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
That's Ricky.
Which I don't,
they made Ricky an offer, you're saying?
Yes, yes, they made Ricky an offer, which I don't think I would have turned it down either. But, you know, during that time touring, you know, Michael Jackson would go out for, you know, several months. I mean, a year plus they would be, you know, traveling the world. So once the Yellow Jackets kind of realized that, they pulled me aside and asked me if I, you know, wanted to be permanent in the band. And there you go. Man, as you said, that was 1988. I was only 2 years old then.
Yeah, we remember those videos back in the '80s.
But that was the birth of it. I moved down from Oakland, San Francisco, down to Los Angeles, and began my trek as a Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, and you know, the beautiful thing is I was introduced to the Yellow Jackets by a friend of mine out in California. He was actually here with me in the Marine Corps. His name is Eddie Gonzalez. And Pastor Eddie, he's got every album I think the Yellow Jackets have ever produced.
Oh.
So when I came to North Carolina 27 years ago, he said, "Man, you got to hear this band," because he turned me on to folks like, you know, I was listening to Joe Sample and you know, what's the saxophone guy, Kenny G, and you know, the folks like that. But he said, "Man, you got to hear this band." So when he gave me one of his albums, I mean, I think I still have it. I never gave it back. He said, "You could just borrow this." I said, "Man," and I fell in love ever since then. But it was distinctive, the sound of the Yellow Jackets, and it was due in part and I think primarily to the sound of Will Kennedy. So, you know, anybody, and this is my next question for you, sir, you know, anybody can close their eyes, and I've said this before that to my son Chris, anybody can close their eyes and tell that when Will Kennedy is playing on a track, it's just been, you have made that staple in our in the jazz world. How important and how difficult is it for a drummer to distinguish their sound while at the same time supporting the band?
Wow. Well, that's a great question. The key word I think you said there was their sound. Every musician should have their voice. And I think that's really, really critical to your success in this crazy business we call the music business. I preach this to my students as often as I can, that they do need to nurture and develop their sound, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it is the component that people will begin to hire you for. And it is part of your legacy, your reputation, if you will, that character of sound that is you. And it is something that each individual has, just like your speaking voice. You know, even though, say, you and Chris Jr., you know, may sound similar at times, but still, he has his voice. He has his sound. You are his father, and you basically taught him how to speak through life. But still, he has his unique quality, and right. It's the same thing that you can apply to the drum kit. You know, back years ago, many of us were copying the sound of Steve Gadd and even Peter Erskine, Dave Weckl. Dave Weckl had, and still does have, has an enormous following, and people are inspired by how he plays. And you want to try to capture that feel, that sound that's desirable for you. But mm-hmm. you know, once you, in your process of copying that, you still are playing it in that unique fashion that is you. And right. Granted, if you go over the top, of course, you could sound exactly like Dave. But what you'll find in your discovery, and it's a cool process in gathering more vocabulary in the instrument, is that strategy of copying and mimicking someone's sound or approach to a groove. But still, in that process, you discover how it is that you play it, and you discover how it is that it's your uniqueness that's bringing life to that particular type of playing. Wow. And that's the beauty of music.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of expression in that way.
Yes, sir. Chris, you got a question?
Yes, sir. So I've recently. I'd say about 2 years ago when I really started.
See, he sounds just my, like you.
Yeah, he does.
My publishing.
What no, happened? He said, I'm sorry. I was just saying you sound just like your father.
Developing my own sound, man.
Hey, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. So roughly 2 years ago, I started taking, you know, getting myself out there a little bit more seriously, you know, trying to play at more youth conferences in my district, posting a lot more videos, you know, content, make sure it's good quality, you know, people are enjoying what they see, you know, any feedback and whatnot. And I've come across guys that are touring, and, you know, I'm always, you know, on their lives asking, you know, what is it like, you know? And I know touring isn't for everyone. You leave things behind, and it's just you, and it's a business, you know, but I was, as he asked me to ask some questions, I was, you know, what do you ask Will Kennedy, you know? So if I could put it in a way, how was it that you kept the love for music and it wasn't really a job for you? Because I hear a lot of people, you know, don't hate your job, you know, work, but make sure it's something that you love, you know, do what you love. And for me, I have, you know, so much love for music that I could, you know, play it for free. I feel like, you know, I wouldn't have to, you know, work for it. So eventually, hopefully, that's how I get to feed my family one day. That is the end goal here. But definitely, how have you kept that music sacred and you still, you know, keep that love for it instead of, you know, turning it into, you know, the music business of, you know, on the road and whatnot?
Awesome. Another great question. You guys are full of them. I would say that this love for music, this passion for the game of music and the music business has to be strong, and I think you can apply it to any occupation, and whoever told you that having a strong desire or having that strong love for what you do is important is because of how it relates to how you live as a man. And if you're not enjoying what your main focus is or what your main source of resources are, or source of income is, then that's not really living to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So why not line up your love and your passions for something as one of the main activities that you do in life and that brings great rewards to you? That would be a definition of living. So once you start there, you also realize that it's that love, it's that passion for music and the music business that gets you through. Because boy, you're gonna get hit upside the head on many levels. You're gonna hit challenges left and right, and of course, you know, anything worthwhile doing is hard to do. And with God's love and God's power, God's wisdom, you can persevere, but also you find God's love in that passion and in that love for what you're doing. Because he gave you the opportunity in the first place. Oh, don't get me started.
Oh, go ahead now. We might have to take up an offering for Brother. Yeah, that.
So, again, it's that passion, that love that gets you through the trials and keeps your eye on the goal at the end, the light at the end, and the success at the end, and the rewards of being able to express yourself through an instrument and have people respond to that is it's holy. Yeah. That's the only word for it. Yeah. It's a blessing. It's a blessing, I tell you. And you know what it's like. Even the experiences you've had thus far, you get what I'm saying, I'm sure. And it never ends. And yes, it's challenging. It's difficult to find your way sometimes. But the rewards are really, really wonderful.
That's a powerful
awesome.
Answer.
Well, awesome.
Let me ask you this, Will. You know, we hear, because obviously we've studied your work and you know, the work of your band, the Yellow Jackets. We recognize your excellence. You've displayed excellence for decades. And, you know, you watch as, you know, you talk about other crafts. You watch as other sports, you know, sports, they start to decline after, you know, they age in dog years in football. You know what I mean? A running back can only got like 6 or 7 good years, and then they're off their game. But yours has been, you know, a staple of excellence for decades. But we also know to get to that level of excellence, you had to overcome some things. And what would you consider? Now this is you. Hopefully you've had time to think about this. One of your worst or challenging performances, and what lessons could you pass along to our audience from that one?
You know, I had a gentleman. I think I was in a recording session once, and one of the trumpet players in the band was taking a solo, and he hit a note that you know, obviously was not part of the chord changes at that moment, right? It could be characterized as a blue note, if you would. and everyone knew it. And yet the way that he got out of it at that moment, it was like he played that note and it was like, it was like, oh, that was the wrong note. But he creatively found a way to incorporate that note into what it should have been. And it was a reminder that there's potentially no mistakes in music. There's no wrong notes, if you will. Because if you have the courage, if you have the ability to manipulate your way out of it, there's good things that can happen out of that blue note, if you would.
Yeah.
So yes, I've had some challenges. You know, there's been some situations where, as a black man, as soon as I walk in the room, there's some challenges.
Wow, I understand.
My calling card that is me and my skin tone. It's like, oh wait, do you really belong in here? It's like, yeah, I do belong in here.
Right. Right.
And because of my skin tone, people jump to conclusions, if you will, about what kind of player I am and what kind of music I may specialize in. And a well-rounded musician needs to be able to cover any job that's in front of him and play, be able to successfully play on any drum kit that's in front of him. And that is part of your gift. That is part of your contribution to a situation to persevere through all challenges that are in front of you be the best that you can be at all times. And that sort of attitude, that sort of perspective will get you through those blue notes, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It actually, it's a knack. It's a muscle that could be made strong, that ability to just be focused, persevere through your challenges and make it work. Make it work. You got a problem with me? Then it's really kind of your problem. I'm good. I can play. So if you hire me to play, I'm gonna come in and do my business and God bless you.
Chris, he said he's from the Bay Area, Chris. So I gotta ask him this question. I did not submit this question to you ahead of time, but I gotta ask you. Are you a Golden State Warriors fan?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay,
most
good. Definitely. We can keep him.
Oh! Did you just see that? Did you see the technique right there?
We can keep him on the show, right, Chris?
Right.
Yeah. If you had to say something like, "Yeah, I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan" or something, I'm like, "Nah, you got to go, man."
Yeah. Right. Oh, look at the time.
That's for sure. Yeah. So, Chris, you come up. You got another question after this one, Chris. I want to give Chris a chance. Ladies and gentlemen who are tuning in, we've got our live audience and, of course, our podcast. You're listening to Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. We are honored to have in our virtual studios the one and only legendary drummer of the Yellow Jackets, Mr. Will Kennedy. And this has been about a year in the making for us to nail down, because he's a very busy man, teaches and teaches at a university, as well as playing with the Grammy Award winning Yellow Jackets. And so when we're talking about the albums that you guys have made, I think you're up around 25, 26 albums. How is it making an album with the Yellow Jackets? And is it a democratic approach, or how does that work?
Yellow Jackets are very much a democratic organization, and that actually kind of caught me off guard when I first learned that, because Russell Ferrante, who's the piano player and founding member of Yellow Jackets, one of the nicest people you've ever met, Russell and Bob Minster, who's the saxophonist and other wind instruments for Yellow Jackets. Both of those two gentlemen, who you mentioned, like you mentioned, are also my cohorts at University of Southern California. Both of those gentlemen are two of the most prolific musicians or composers I've ever worked with. By the time I've finished a half of an idea, they've already written a symphony. By the time I get to the end of my intro, by the time I finish the intro, they've already got two or three completed songs.
Wow!
So it's a really an honor working with them, and to find out as a up and coming young musician that not only was I blessed to become a member of Yellow Jackets, but I was welcomed to co-produce the recordings and contribute any composition, song ideas that I felt would be a contribution to the albums or CDs. And just had full voice to express my opinion, and together as a band, we would unite and create the finished product. So that also has happened for our most recent member, who's I think 5 or 6 years with us now, His name is Dane Alderson. He's our newest member playing bass. And Dane, Dane is a
That's
wonderful,
a bad man.
Yes, wonderful character, wonderful musician, incredibly nice person. And he's originally from Perth, Australia, and but now living in Charlottesville, Virginia. I finally remembered the name of the city.
Right.
We were talking earlier, and I couldn't remember Charlottesville. But anyway, Dane has been a wonderful addition to the band. And when we exposed to him that he is welcome to, you know, co-compose, co-produce, and contribute in any way he saw fit, I saw the same shock in his eyes that I may have had in mine when I first found out, when I first joined. But we work wonderfully that way, which I think has a lot to do with the longevity of the band and how we keep ourselves fresh and re-eventing ourselves as time goes on. We are celebrating, I believe, 42 years to date. The band started in 1978. With the original members.
Wow, 42 years, and I'm 46, so I wasn't I wasn't listening when I was 4, but I definitely caught up with y'all when I was 20. So,
amen.
Yeah, amen. Chris, what you got?
My last question, I suppose. I know that we've seen a lot of pop-up concerts, you know, a lot of gigs here and there, but do we see any in the future foreseen concerts in great state of North Carolina or anywhere around here
on East Coast, right?
on the East Coast.
Right. Well, Chris, the world is our stage, and there are plenty of wonderful stages to perform in that area, right? And we certainly will keep the pressure on our booking agent and make sure that we make the rounds properly and cover all areas necessary, which North Carolina better be on the touring list for sure, right? Amen. What would you say? Let's determine actually really quickly which room would be one of the better rooms for us to come and visit and perform.
What are you talking about? At our house?
Oh. At your house?
Okay.
That would really be a great stage, wouldn't it?
We're locking the door, man. No one's coming in or out. When you said rooms, I thought you meant at my house. ECU is a focal point. That's where last year we had played our our invitational. We played variety of songs. We did a Christmas excerpt and then just two other well-known jazz pieces. And then my sophomore year, we played Spain by
Chick Corea.
Man,
God rest his soul.
Just passed away. A great man. He's a great. And I've heard a lot of great performances happen at ECU, NC State area. That's really all I've known. I've been there once. My first year of jazz, we went there to take a trip, and we watched all the high schools perform because we were performing the next day, but it was just for seniors. So I've been exposed to a little bit of gigs here and there, but not too many. So yes, I could say that's really all I know about. But you probably do know more around this area.
Yeah, East Carolina has a very robust jazz program, and the year that the Yellow Jackets came. As I continue to remind Will, back in 2000 when the Yellow Jackets came to North Carolina, they performed at ECU, and as I tease Will all the time, I was there. My friend Eddie Gonzalez was there, and we made the trip up there. We had
who wasn't there?
Yeah, we had all of our Will Kennedy paraphernalia, markers ready for signatures and autographs. And I'm looking on the drum chair, and there's this bald white guy up there. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've been watching Will. Now, what happened? I was furious. It took me a good year to get over that one. But Peter Erskine, the legendary Peter Erskine, was actually filling in for you during that time. But yeah, East Carolina University is a great jazz program. Now, for you're talking to Chris because you've influenced Chris a lot. And after this question, I'd like to see a video from one of your influences, Will. But for all those young aspiring drummers out there, you know, what we want to hear and what we want to know is, in terms of, you know, you just said it, you're going to be 61 here shortly, and you've been playing since, you know, 18, 19 years old. What are the keys to a long career as a professional drummer with so many out there?
Wow. Well, we spoke about having that voice that is unique to you, and nurturing and developing in your sound, because everyone knows about branding in these days. Everyone is preaching that branding, and that is something that on your end, it helps you focus on who you are and what your contribution is, and what exactly is your commodity. Who are you? What are you about? What do you have to contribute to the craft and for people to consume? I think establishing that as soon as possible, that voice, that sound, will put you on a space or on a plateau, a level that is the beginning of your longevity, because that is the beginning of your legacy, your reputation, if you will. And when you are able to establish that and stay firm in that, with some reinventing, of course, and some growing and nurturing through the years, but that is the beginning of a wonderful plateau. So the interesting thing about that is, I also in this conversation have mentioned that we should be well-rounded musicians. We should be able to handle a wide variety of opportunities. And that's a big part of it. And though you are focused and unique in your sound, you still have the talent and the gift, if you will, to have a broad vocabulary in music. I can play country. I can play polka.
Yeah.
As I said, play a bar mitzvah in a minute, right. And then yet I can play James Brown. I can handle a Count Basie big band. You know, I got a wide range of things that I've been exposed to, and my vocabulary is broad. And I teach that very important for young musicians to have that wide, broad exposure. And what a time we live in, where you're not restricted to your own record collection. You can have a digital library from iTunes to Apple Music to Spotify. You can have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of recordings that you can expose yourself to and expand your way of thinking and your way of playing and your sense of vocabulary. And it's those items that will get you longevity. It's those items. Another, I'm sorry to be blabbing off here.
That's
but,
okay.
Another component to your longevity is really staying true to your word. You know, stay true to your commitment to this craft. And that's kind of connected with what I said earlier. Broaden your vocabulary, and that's just being a professional. That's just being the best you can be. Being a real contributor. To the craft. You know, it's a funny thing. Coming up in the Bay Area, listening to bands like Earth, Wind & Fire and Sly and the Family Stone, Commodores and like, I really gravitated towards the funk. I wanted to be a Will Kennedy funk drummer. Right? That was me. I had made that decision. I think I might have been maybe 15 or something, but funk was the thing for me. I was just going to be, just don't mess with me. Don't mess with me.
Right.
and then someone exposed me to, you know, you're really good. You're really good at that. And you should check out some samba or some bayon, some songo. You should learn songo. And like, I'll get to that. little did I know that playing a songo in an authentic or best you can, an authentic fashion, really grabbing hold to the spirit of some of the ethnic styles, music from Brazil, music from Africa, really grabbing hold and spreading that exposure will improve you as a person, as a musician, and as a contributor. And some of the ethnic music is so interrelated with funk that the result was my funk playing improved. It grew, out beyond my imagination because I was adding more depth and more sound and more exposure, more vocabulary, if you will. Right. So that's like, woo, you talk about victory. That's a victory, and that'll just take you to the end of the world right there. That you can talk about longevity. That's what's up.
Wow. And again, that's exactly why I think, we can still hear Will play today, because he said something, you said something that was really true. Kobe Bryant has said it. LeBron, Michael Jordan has said it. They never cheated the game. They were true to the game. And being a man of integrity and honor to your craft. So we talked earlier off camera about someone who was a major inspiration to you, Will. And we'd like for you to show us who that is. You can share your screen with our audience. Those tuning in, this is Impacting Life 24/7. I have in our virtual studios my son, Chris Jr., and the legendary world famous Will Kennedy from from the Yellow Jackets Jazz Fusion Band. So, Will, you want to introduce the gentleman?
Okay, so wait. We also have to remind people that Chris Jr. is also the king of Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Every time he says that, man.
We'll tell that story in a minute, but make note of that. King of Cape Town.
King of Cape Town. We'll remember it, Chris, okay?
But one of my big inspirations coming up, and I had a chance to see him play live a number of times, but he's deceased now. He's left us. But his name is Tony Williams, Mr. Tony Williams. Mm-hmm. Played with Miles Davis at the age of 17, and several years after that is on some of Miles' most popular and incredible contributions to the jazz world. But Tony Williams, you talk about a character of sound, a personal sound, a unique approach to the drum kit. It was just so melodic and inspiring for me coming up. And what I'm going to share is a drum solo, a short drum solo in the year 1989. This is live in New York City, and it's prime Tony Williams, and a really wonderful experience. Hold on 1 second. Give me 2 seconds. I'm a fired up right now. Are you ready? You ain't ready for this.
We're ready, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, here we go. Yes, sir.
Wow.
I mean, he just makes a symphony, man.
Right.
And it's just so, so inspiring. I just love him, love him, love him.
That's powerful. Again, it's interesting and so cool because for those of you who don't know, you need to go to YouTube and watch Freedom Land and and compare Will's drum solo to what we just saw, and you'll see a very unique comparison because Will goes into a section there that has that same feel. So I can feel his inspiration in that solo that you did in Freedom Land.
Amen.
Yeah. So,
but nowhere close.
He's just humble. Humble man. So one of the most important things that I try to communicate to our audiences and many young people who I've spoken to over the years, Will, is the concept of consistency. And I know we've been talking about that. What are some areas that you have to be consistent in, and what do you use to pull you back into focus, maybe when your focus shifts?
Wow, great question. Well, you speak of consistency. That actually has a lot to do with being a musician, being a drummer. There's a really kind of a certain level of muscle memory, if you will, like something really basic on the drums. Just playing a really nice 1 and 3 on the kick drum, 2 and 4 on the snare drum, and eighth notes on the hi-hat. So I know I just went technical right there. Uh-huh. But here's what that means. Here's the translation of that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Now, so just with me motioning with my mouth and my body, you know, I'm hoping that I'm projecting a feel, a pulse, if you will. And it's that focus on the pulse that will help bring whatever music I'm supporting. It will help bring that music alive. Right? Because it's a pulse, right?
Yeah, right, right.
I feel like I need extra payment for that.
Well, Will does talk about the pulse a lot, right?
Amen. So there's a certain bit of consistency in how I strike the snare drum, a bit of muscle memory to get that consistent, nice, fat snare drum sound that will, it can assist you in a number of ways. It can assist in bringing someone to the dance floor. It could assist in making someone feel the lyrics to a tune. It can assist in just projecting the emotion of perhaps what the song is about. And without that consistency in feel and in sound, your performance is over.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, look, let's get something to drink. I don't need to hear that tune, right?
Right.
Because
right.
An inconsistent groove could be something that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, goot, got. Wait. Well, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, goot, got. Okay. That's a failure right there. That's beyond a blue note.
Right.
So shape that around your, as you mentioned, your integrity, your word, your commitment to excellence, your ability to always be a contributor to the success of the music. It's those seeds. It's those planting of goodwill and good practices that will bring you through.
Yeah, and I, you know, I appreciate that because one of the things that, you know, I see, especially in my industry, there's a lot of professional speakers, right? Speakers are almost a dime a dozen. But when you talk about, hey man, you got to be consistent. I there's been times where, Will, I felt like, man, just throwing in the towel, even with this podcast, you know, I'm just like, well, man, the numbers aren't there. You know, I can't land any big names until today, you know, or whatever. But the consistent piece of that has been, you know, I see the fruits of it. And you may not, through consistency, you have to look back sometimes and see, oh, I see now the fruits of my labor. And and so that's an amazing thing. Let me ask you this real quick, Will, because I know I kept you, and you're on a different time zone. You probably, you know, I got to let you go soon. But you've mentioned about some artists, and I'd just like to get a quick recap for those of you tuning into Impacting Life 24/7. We're here live in the virtual studios with the legendary drummer Will Kennedy. Who are some of the folks and drummer and musicians and bands that you like to listen to outside of the Yellow Jackets?
Wow. Well, all of the pioneers that have made music what it is today. Mm-hmm. And it's remarkable how many young musicians lack that wisdom of, wow, this was, that sort of thing had been played before.
right.
Not, oh, that's such a fresh sound right there. I'm like, yeah, that's fresh, all right, but... it's been played before. That's really something. I'm actually number one. I'm not the greatest person at names. I'm thinking of all these young musicians that have inspired me lately. And you know, I talked about Spotify and Apple Music and how there's such a vast amount of artists that are in the game today. I lack the wisdom of people's names.
Me too. Trust me.
I'll sum it up with people that are bringing and innovating what we do. Those are the ones that are critical for us. And even though they may be whatever tapping into what's been done before, they're utilizing today's technology. And they're maximizing the opportunity of getting new music, even if it's from old sounds or old concepts of playing music. They're bringing it and keeping it alive today. And those sort of innovators, those sort of contributors to our craft, as what we've been talking about, those are the ones that inspire me. And I just love to see it. And being in a professor or teacher position really allows me to see early in the game how some of these young musicians are just coming with some dynamic gifts and dynamic abilities to just blossom, and how rewarding it is for me to pay it forward with the wisdom that I've earned through the years, to just give it, pass it forward to them and let them run and blossom with it. It's just a very rewarding position for me to be in.
Well, let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, those of you tuning in, Impact Life 24/7, I'm here with the legendary Will Kennedy from the Yellow Jackets, and he's toured all over the world, been seen all over the world, ranked 3 times as the number one drummer in Drummer World magazine, Grammy Award.
Wow.
You didn't know that.
I forgot about that.
He's forgot more than we'll ever know, ladies and gentlemen. I did my homework on Brother Will a long time ago. But I wanna digress just for a minute, ladies and gentlemen, because Will is in our eyes, when you see someone in, you know, on a stage and there's thousands of people in the audience, and you see them in Germany and you see them in Switzerland, you see them in Australia, that you feel like you can't reach those people because they're famous. And, you know, it's just like, wow, you admire them from a distance. But I remember years ago, Chris and I had tried to reach out to Will Kennedy on the Yellow Jackets webpage. That was long, long ago. And Will, we tripped out. We totally freaked out. We ran around the house because Will responded. And I said, man, this, Will actually talks to people. And so we continue that on. And Chris, where's your the thing he sent you when you were 16? Get that real quick.
We
continued just through, you know, I'm mindful of people's time, and I, you know, I'm not trying to stalk the guy, you know, I'm just thankful that he responded. Well, over the years, we obviously, you know, I watched the Yellow Jackets, listened to them, I'm a fan, But we, you know, from time to time, there would be some connection until one time Will said, hey, listen, give me a call. And I was like, you mean like actually on your phone? And, you know, I'm just like, this just doesn't happen. And so I remember the one time I worked up, because everybody around the house knows how we love the Yellow Jackets and Will Kennedy. I said, guys, I'm thinking about calling Will. And my wife's like, no way. And she says in the comments here, Will Kennedy is a household name in the King house for sure.
Right, right.
And so I'm calling, and he's like, ah, this is North Carolina. How are you? And I'm just like, oh, my God. And we're all screaming in the background. Will Kennedy's on the phone. And then I reached out to Will one time, and I said, you know, listen, Chris is 16. We've been following you since he's been born. And if you could just send him, you know, a video clip or something like that. And Will went beyond, way beyond that, because I bought Chris an expensive drum set for his 16th birthday. And uh-oh. Will sent him, show him what he sent you, Chris.
So he has the kit. I think this is his personal kit with his signature. Wow. He wished me happy birthday. This is 2018. I have this up in my drum room right behind me. Where every time I play, it's right behind me. And then he sent me his signature sticks. I have not played with these ones because these were a gift to me. But these are now my go-to. I mean, I run through Vic Firth like 5 days, whatever. Those are baby weights. But these really make drums speak. And, you know,
shout out to Promark drumsticks.
Yeah.
Shout out to Promark drumsticks.
You know, can we get a little cut, Will? Can we get a little cut, Ray?
Right, right.
Yes, but these are a great drumstick, not just, you know, because they were sent to me by a legend. But after I was – I didn't really use these until – probably later 2019. So a whole year went by, and I was looking at these sticks, and Dad was like, they were in my room, and he was like, come put them in my drawer. He was like, I don't want nothing to happen to those. So I put them in his drawer, but I go and tap on the dresser, and I'm like, this is really, really, like, you know, good stick weight, good volume, the taper's long. This is a perfect stick to me. So these are my go-to. You know, I play with these church, school, home, everything. So,
not that particular pair, but he's got another
Amen.
Pair. Yeah.
Amen.
And so awesome. Again, ladies and yeah. gentlemen, when you can have somebody, Will talks about paying it forward and giving it back and letting the next generation blossom. He doesn't just say that. I mean, Will, you know, he lives it. And investing in a young up-and-coming musician, it really has. That's what endeared me the most to Will, because he's taken a kindness to my son, my heir, my offspring. And, you know, here we are in Black History Month, February, and yes. I want Chris to be able to look up to positive role models, and you have made it such. You have shrunk the world, Will, because you gave us some of your time, which is you can't get it back, and we thank you for it. I just got a few more questions before you go. I can't let you go. You're contracted to answer all the questions, so hang tight. Are you still there, Will? He didn't leave the room, did he?
Hello?
No, just two more questions. I want to get to this in terms of COVID-19, because that gets us to where we are. How has COVID-19 affected the music industry, and what have you done to help people stay connected to your music? I mean, how do you help that?
Amen. Yellow Jackets have launched a home performance series, which is live, or actually not live, but presented on our website, yellowjackets.com. And we only have one song up right now, but there are a few others that are brewing as soon as we finish recording and videoing them. But the song that's up now is a tune called Like Elvin. That's written by our saxophone player, Bob Mincer. And everyone is at home. We have Bob and Russell in the Los Angeles area. And I'm in the Houston, Texas. And Dane, our bassist, is in Charlottesville, Virginia. So we record from our living places and edit the video together, and it creates the Yellow Jackets home performance series. So look for that at yellowjackets.com, Like Elvin.
That is so cool, man. And that's really cool to see that happening, that you can do that. You see these Zooms or these recordings with 20 people on the screen, and they're all in different places throughout the world. So it's so cool to see the Yellow Jackets tapping into that resource. What I'm going
to
do...
Oh, I'm sorry. Really quickly, I wanted to mention that, one of the things that fascinates me is video editing and video production. So I tried my hand at editing this video for this song, Like Elvin, and using some software here at home, and just kind of in shock as I've been kind of messing with it for a little while, but I was just surprised myself and patting myself a little bit on the back, saying, I did that. Which is also really quickly is also related back to Chris Jr. here, the King of Cape Town.
Yeah.
We're calling him that because of a song from the Yellow Jackets recording Blue Hats. I believe that might be I forget which year that is, but it's a little while ago. The song Cape Town deals with this African rhythm called Magabu. And those who are interested, any drummers out there, I do a pretty extensive demonstration of this African rhythm Magabu on the Zildjian cymbal website. Even in that demonstration, I only showed how to play the main groove. And there are other components of the song that are as complicated as the main groove. And it's rare, even though a lot of drummers have asked me questions about that groove, it's rare that I hear someone play the whole song from beginning to end. And I'm like, what? Chris Jr. apparently had been sitting and working with this too, probably with the help of Big Daddy here. And they sent me this video of Chris playing Cape Town from intro to fade out. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Young brother trying to take my job now. Wait a minute.
Oh, man.
So with my little video editing skills, I was able to, the original video you sent me, of course, had the original recording with me playing drums, and you're playing with me. So I have access to what we call stems in the recording world, and it's my ability to drop Chris Jr. in the song without my drums playing with you. So... it allowed you to be King of Cape Town.
and ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you that song, I can't play it. I wish I could, but when we heard it, Chris started playing it when, what were you, about 11, Chris?
I was 10 years old when I started. I learned the groove when I was 10, and then I could sing the song in my head when I was like 12, because we played it so much. That's when, because you would go through playlists, but I would make you put that song on repeat after a while. It just became a fan favorite for me. And after, my band director at church, he's Jamaican, and he's a fantastic, amazing piano player, and he can play the drums like he's speed demon. But he told me, and he was like, play this Latin groove. And he was like, I'm gonna just speak it for you. Ga ka boom boom, ga boom boom, ga ka boom boom. And in my head, I'm like, oh, let me throw him off real quick. And he said, and he was like, dude, what toxic, what rhythm? And he was thrown off, man. And that was one of my favorite moments with him, man. Cause that was something that was in the vault, man. You know, you can't just come out of the riff and just play Magabu for some gig. You know, no one's gonna know what you're playing but you. So I broke it down to him, man, and he's, I don't even know if he plays it now, but he loves that, and I incorporate it, so it's like a kind of anticipated beat. It's on the ends a lot when we play Latin grooves, and so I've incorporated that into my playing. Like, I'll just do like a little quick something and pop out and be like, well, are you off, are you sure you're on? And I'll be like, no, trust me, Will Kennedy.
Mugabu, baby. Mugabu.
Mugabu.
Mugabe. Mugabe. Yeah.
So listen, Will, I guess the sponsors decided to play Mugabe right there. We got the music letting us know that we've taken enough of Will's time. But Will, here we are. We don't know if this will ever happen again, but we're very, very blessed that it has. And as I do with all of our guests, because I have hundreds of guests every year, I give them our platform to speak words of encouragement to our audience. And so here we are, we're honoring you in this Black History Month. We're honoring you as a legend in our house. If you're not a legend anywhere else, you're a legend here, Will. And you're also a legend in many, many other musicians around the world. I'm going to turn my platform over to you and give you an opportunity to speak words of encouragement to this next generation and the current generation in 2021. The floor is yours.
Amen. Thank you again for the opportunity to come share. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the love. I appreciate the support. I'm going to give something away. You've been saying I've been giving my time away, but I have some specific gifts to give away to those listening that might be interested into some drumming information. And it is a giving of myself, and also in return for a quick note to me of whether you've heard the Yellow Jackets or you've heard this interview. In return for a quick note to me, I can give you the gifts of music, some play-along material, some drumming exercises, and some other little tidbits about Will Kennedy. But drop me an email at willsmusicroom@gmail.com. willsmusicroom@gmail.com. That's Wills with an S, W-I-L-L-S, musicroom@gmail.com. Drop me an email note saying, hello, it was nice to hear you, or nice to meet you, or I've been hearing your music, or, man, you ain't nothing. willsmusicroom@gmail.com. Write me a note and I'll reply with some musical gifts. And here's a saying I've heard. We were talking about this earlier. Out of every adversity comes an equal or better opportunity. Woo!
Yes.
Out of every adversity comes an equal or better opportunity. So keep your eyes open, keep your chin up, and keep the love going strong. God bless you.
Well, Mr. Kennedy, again, ladies and gentlemen, he left me speechless, as he always does, not just with his playing, but with his humanity. He's a man of God. He's a God-fearing man, shamelessly loves the Lord, and plays to that end as well. So thank you so much, Will. And if you're ever in the North Carolina area,
I'm coming.
You know what I'm saying, brother? Because if the Yellow Jackets show up and you ain't in that chair, we gonna have a problem. We're going to have a problem. So, ladies and gentlemen, Will Kennedy from the legendary Will Yellow Jackets. You can, he said he's giving some stuff away. willsmusicroom@gmail.com. Just connect with him. He's a man that really, truly does give his blessings away. So, thank you, Will. God bless you and your family. We look forward to seeing you again soon, sir.
Woohoo!
Take care, man.
Celebration.
Take care. Chris, you stay right there. Listen, man. Our audience is still live. It's just us, you and me. What an opportunity for us to hear from a legend. Will's 61 years old, been playing for 40 years. What did this interview mean for you, brother?
I don't know. I feel like I'll remember every conversation. You know, this is something that I'll be able to share with fellow musicians. I brag a lot, you know, to friends that, you know, have no taste in jazz, and, you know, it's just me rambling about it. But some people do realize, you know, the effect that, you know, just music itself has. And when it's an influencer, you know, not just reaching out, but taking his time to conversate and, you know, calling you out of the blue, you know, giving you a pair of signature sticks, you know, that stuff really makes a mark, you know, and you'll remember it, you know, for the rest of your life, because, you know, that was something that you wished for, you know, to see Will Kennedy, you know. So this is definitely a great moment in history for me, and it will forever be one of the greatest.
All right, well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Chris, for being my co-host today. Thank Will Kennedy for taking time out. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when I say, and I'm not trying to blow up my show, but he's world famous. They've traveled everywhere in the world and performed and got about 30 albums to their credit, 17 Grammy Award winning and nominations. So I'm just very, very blessed to share this time with you, Chris. Who knows? Maybe one day they'll call you to the Bay Area and you can audition with them. You know what I'm saying, man?
Man.
Yeah, that would be my dream. Anyway, I got to get you to work. Thank you, Will. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in to our special Friday edition of Impacting Life 24/7. You can watch us Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night right here on Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King, and that guy over there is CL King Jr. Love you guys. Have a great evening.